Love is patient. Love is kind. Last night, that was the first thing I said when I talked to this crowd of mixed people, some Christians, some not, some Christians and quite liberal. While outside in the hallway there, down below, there was a protest, a series of readings, various people, professors from the college, other pastors from other church bodies, speaking about how what I was there to do when I was speaking about the diversity of man and woman as created by God was come to speak hate. And I really wanted to make it clear, and that's why I'm going to say it again here now for you, because it's so important to we Christians standing in the current tumult of this age. I really want to make it clear that if you're going to have an argument against a Christian, if you're going to say that the Christian view of marriage is wrong, then you have to take it as it actually is, what Christians actually believe. You can't take what's called, in logical discourse, a straw man argument. What's a straw man? A straw man, you think of an actual man made of straw. How hard would a man made of straw, a scarecrow, be to knock over? I mean, I guess if the pole is stuck in the ground, but just imagine he's just standing there. How hard to knock over, right? Pretty easy. You just walk up, a little kid could knock it over. And so the straw man is when you take your opponent in a debate and your opponent's not present and you reform their argument in the most ludicrous possible way. That is, you don't even give them the real argument. You paint a different argument, but one which is really, really easy for you to knock over. And then you knock it over in front of the crowd and you cheer and they cheer and everyone thinks that you've shown how right you are and how wrong they are. And it's a straw man when someone says that those who would hold to the Bible's view of marriage do so out of hate, because they're not recognizing that everything the Bible teaches is founded on love. And that love defined by the Bible is not my passion. It's not how I feel. It's not what I want. Love is patient. And love is kind. At its root, it is, as our Lord says, if someone strikes you, turn the other cheek. He doesn't go out with a sword and enforce morality on people. The government can do that, right? I'm not talking about the government and what governments do and the weird reality that we live in a world now where we get to be the government. That's a different thing. I'm just talking about Christians being Christians on the street. And I don't have the right to go out and try to force someone I disagree with to live according to what I believe to be right or wrong. Even, and this is really important, let's take it out of the realm of marriage and sexuality. Even in the realm of murder, right? So like, turn the other cheek means that if somebody comes up and murders you, there is this, I mean, self-defense is okay. It's not like a sin to self-defend. But on the other hand, the Christian wants to always seek the good of the person attacking them. So that even in self-defense, you would not try to murder back. But instead, you would apply patience and kindness even to the enemy assaulting you. We have to live this way as Christians. That's what tolerance really means. That's why tolerance is first a Christian virtue. Not a worldly virtue. The world, evolution has no reason to believe in tolerance, frankly. No philosophical one. It's a Christian virtue to turn the other cheek to those who would not just disagree, but attack you, who would harm you. Because our Lord did that for us as a demonstration of who he is. And being adopted into him, this is now who we are. That even though we know, and you know this, you confess that you are not patient and kind all the time. That's why you go to confession. That's why you take the Lord's Supper. It doesn't mean you don't believe that's a good thing to try to be. And that in all of our approaches to the civil discourse in which we engage as citizens of this country, we do so from that ground point of love that is patient and kind, of respect. That we're not out to remove people's rights or to disrespect them, or to cause them to be harmed. Love does not insist on its own way, St. Paul says. Isn't that interesting? Love does not insist on having what it wants. It's quite the other way around. Love is willing to lose. Love is willing to fail. Love is willing to believe that speaking the truth in love without enforcing that truth is good enough. That the idea itself, because it is true, will rise to the surface on its own because it is powerful in its truthfulness. But Paul tells us too in verse 6 there, love does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices with the truth. Love does not hide the truth. It does not change the truth. It isn't happy when people adopt ideas that ultimately are harmful to both themselves and society. I mean, the murderer is the one whose soul is most hurt by what he does. He can harm your body, but his conscience is going to be in vast and deep conflict or hardened to the point of unapproachableness. What a tragedy that is. How much more so the blasphemer, right? The one who is the fool that scoffs at the idea of God and God speaking. Love does not rejoice at those things when it sees another in it. It doesn't rejoice to call down, hey, you are a hater, you should be hated too. No, love mourns over wrongdoing. It mourns over division. It looks at the chaos of the hatefulness of our age and the kind of the media shot fired culture that we live in, and it weeps. It weeps for a more civil time, a time when even those who disagree can still sit together and, well, turn the other cheek to each other. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Paul does not mean it believes all things in the sense that there is no truth. It's the other way around. It never gives up on the person you're talking to. It never assumes they're so hard they can't be won over by kindness and the truth. It never abandons the sinner. And that's not who first we Christians are. It is what we believe right and wrong is. But that's first who our Lord Jesus is to us. Jesus, looking down on this sinful planet, was patient and kind. He came down and did not envy or boast. He wasn't arrogant or rude to us. He did not insist on his own way. But he did rejoice with the truth, and so he bore all things on the cross. He believed all things about us, not that we're good in ourselves, but that for the joy set before him, he would redeem us. He hoped all things, knowing what we would be, knowing what you are, covered with his blood. And so he endured all things. All things, all hell, all fire, all suffering and wrath from God on that cross, so that you might know the difference between hate and love.